Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Monday, July 25th, 2016. I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell. Here are the headlines. Arson is suspected in a fire which occurred at the Point Michelle Church building on Friday evening. Venezuela First Lady's nephews confessed to drug scheme, says U.S. prosecutors. An Ansbach explosion. Syrian asylum seeker blows himself up in Germany. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprise and Argo Cement. The details of these and more stories after this.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Behind the construction of our house, there is the tireless optimism of my husband.
Behind the construction of this bridge are the problem solvers that make it possible.
Behind the design of every great building, there's a facilitator to make it happen.
Behind every builder of the future are the people that believe in him.
In Argos Cement, we believe in the people that build values, because those who give green light to their goals are the ones that make them come true. Argos Cement, green light for Dominica.
Welcome back. In news this morning, authorities are reportedly treating a fire which occurred at the Point Michelle Church building on Friday evening as a case of suspected arson. Reports indicate that the fire broke out at about 8:30 p.m. The fire department in Roseau responded and went to the scene of the blaze. Several pews inside the church were reportedly damaged or destroyed at this time. It is not certain as to the origin of the fire. However, parish priest Father Peter Wamutitu reported that several weeks ago, a Dominican flag which was at the front of the church was stolen. Q95 will follow this story and bring you an updated official report as it becomes available. Now, former IMF economist Senator Dr. Thompson Fontaine says the DLP administration lacks the vision to implement strategies that will seek to boost the local economy. Dr. Fontaine made this statement after reviewing the estimates of the 2016-2017 national budget. He says given the trends, he fears that in 2017 or 2018, Dominica would have had no success in the implementation of the national budget or in any significant growth in the economy.
Part of it, and that is sustainability. So far, we've seen the only projects that appear to be able to attract serious investment is hotel projects. How many hotels can we build on Dominica? Will those investors invest into building factories for Dominica? Will they put the money into developing agriculture? I doubt it. So I'm concerned that this thing is not sustainable. So we might get a big boon this year, but 2017, 2018, we might go back to where we were. And that is the concern that I have.
And that was economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Meanwhile, Fontaine says he would like to see increased communication with the general public and the opposition from the DLP government regarding the affairs of the state to create a heightened sense of transparency. Dr. Fontaine made reference to the Citizenship by Investment program taken up by the DLP administration in 2004.
What he would have liked the Prime Minister to do, and which is done in Antigua, in St. Kitts, and in all the other countries, is for the Prime Minister to tell us, well, between July 2015 and June 2016, 800 people got the CIP, is the numbers of their passports, 500 got the ECP program, and this is the number, this is the accounting. We have not seen that kind of clarity, and that is what we're asking for.
UWP Senator Dr. Thompson Fontaine. In more news this morning, former Agriculture Minister Atherton Mate hopes to see the provision of substantial allocation of funds in the 2016-2017 national budget to ensure the complete transformation of the agricultural and agro-processing sectors. Mr. Mate made reference to a young Dominican who returned to Dominica recently after successfully completing his studies in agro-processing. Mate says, according to the individual, upon his return, no jobs were available for him through the Ministry of Agriculture, which could enable him to implement his newly acquired skills.
I met this most amazing young Dominican guy from Newton, Sitwende. You know, this guy had been given a scholarship and he was studying agro-processing science in Venezuela. He completed his studies successfully. He returned to Dominica, presented himself to the authorities as a returning scholarship graduate. It appears that nobody even remembered that he was overseas studying and what he was studying. So they had made no provisions, no arrangements to assign him in such a critical area as agro-processing, making use even of things, as he says, of things that we consider waste. He knows how to use them and convert them into things that can be consumed either by humans or by animals and be converted into product that can be eventually consumed. That guy is so impressive. I have had only a couple conversations with him, but I will not call his name because I didn't tell him I was going to mention this. But I wonder how many young Dominicans like this guy. He's entrepreneurial. He is a business person, and he's now soundly and solidly, technically, scientifically trained in agro-processing. And yet, nobody in the Ministry of Agriculture was prepared for his return.
You've just heard statements from former Minister of Agriculture, Mr. Atherton Mate. Now, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit announced that the tourism sector will get a huge chunk from this year's national budget. Roseau Central MP Joseph Isaac says over the years, there has not been any significant performance within that sector. He described the approach being taken by the government as lopsided and suggests that a tourism development fund be established for special development of existing hotels and tourism-related projects.
Why can the government create a special local tourism development fund using the same economic citizenship program or economic citizenship by investment program to create a fund for special development of those existing hotels and hotel-type projects? Where you create a special unit in the ministry that is driving that initiative. And instead of putting more debt burden on some of the hotels, that is where now, for example, the state now can go into some kind of arrangement in terms of equity investment into those hotels there to alleviate their plight and to ensure that they are performing better.
And that was Roseau Central MP Joseph Isaac. Now, having achieved 28% of current electricity generation from hydropower and wind, Dominica says it can boast of being CARICOM's forerunner in the use of renewable sources of energy among the OECS countries. According to a new ECLAC study, barriers to identification and implementation of energy efficiency mechanisms and enhancing renewable energy technologies in the Caribbean, Dominica is the CARICOM member which consumes the largest proportion of its energy from renewable sources. In the wake of the 2008-2011 financial crisis and recognizing that its dependency on fossil energy increased its vulnerability to supply and price fluctuations, Dominica said it decided to pursue sustainable energy strategies that support the promotion of energy efficiency and renewable energy initiatives. As much as US $20 million in investments have already been made to develop the island's geothermal energy potential, solar and wind energy sources also exhibit high potential to satisfy the country's energy needs. Now, two Dexia multi-purpose pack houses were officially commissioned on Friday with the aim of enhancing the quality of produce exported here. They are located in Goodwill and Portsmouth. Their proper and effective functioning will greatly enhance the quality of produce that leaves our country, Agriculture Minister Johnson Drygo said at the commissioning ceremony held at Longhouse in Portsmouth on Friday. We anticipate that necessary protocol and standard operating procedures will be put in place to ensure consumers receive high-quality products after being processed through this facility. He said the packhouses will serve as clearinghouses for all products exported or sold locally in supermarkets. He hopes they will offer package incentives, education, and training for farmers who wish to patronize them. He would like Dexia to work with the Ministry of Agriculture and others to ensure efficiency and effectiveness from the facilities. Meantime, Portsmouth Mayor Titus Francis wants farmers to recognize the effort that was made in constructing these facilities to provide another avenue, one more step in ensuring that market access is guaranteed for their products. He said, I think what is necessary at this point in time is that our farmers look at how best they can be more productive and efficient. I think it is critical for us to recognize the importance of these facilities in moving the economy of this country forward. Purchasing and installing of equipment for the proper functioning of the facility was made possible under the Banana Accompanying Measures, the BAM program. The Goodwill Multipurpose Pack House was renovated at a cost of EC $1.3 million. The Glanvillier Pack House was constructed at a cost of EC $3.1 million. Remodeling works at both of these facilities were implemented at a cost of $336,000. In more news this morning, according to documents filed by U.S. prosecutors in a Manhattan federal court on Friday, two nephews of Venezuela's first lady who faced charges of conspiring to import cocaine into the United States confessed to U.S. agents after being arrested in Haiti in November to being involved in the drug scheme. Details of the confessions by Frankie Francisco Flores de Freitas, 30, and Efrain Antonio Campo Flores, 29, nephews of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's wife, Celia Flores, were contained in summaries of U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, interviews conducted on a November 10 flight to New York from Haiti. However, the men have said that their post-arrest statements should be suppressed on the grounds that they did not fully understand their rights under U.S. law to remain silent. Both men have been held without bail since their November arrest and indicted. Now, a failed Syrian asylum seeker has blown himself up and injured 12 other people with a backpack bomb near a festival in the South German town of Ansbach. The 27-year-old man who faced deportation to Bulgaria detonated the device after being refused entry to the music festival. Bavarian officials have stated about 2,500 people were evacuated from the venue after the explosion. Bavaria has been on edge since a knife rampage on a train claimed by so-called Islamic State ISIS last Monday. The Ansbach blast is reported to have happened at about 12:10 GMT Standard Time outside the Eugene's Wenstube Bar in the center of the town, which has a population of 40,000 people and is home to a U.S. military base. And that's the morning news, but first a recap of our headlines. Arson is suspected in a fire which occurred at the Point Michel Church building on Friday evening. Venezuela's first lady's nephews confessed to drug scheme, says U.S. prosecutors. An Ansbach explosion. Syrian asylum seeker blows himself up in Germany. The news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of Rudolf Thomas Enterprise and Ago Cement. Remember, if you've missed any of our news packages, you can log on to our website at www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. Also, for any breaking story or latest development, you can send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message to 615-1426 or 276-2147. On behalf of the entire news team here at Q95, I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell, wishing you a very pleasant morning.